listeners, and welcome to the fourth Winter Olympics special. Back in July, we were lucky enough to be joined by short track speed skater Charlotte Gilmartin ahead of her Winter Olympics qualifying. As it transpires, it wasn't the smoothest of journeys, as painful injury problems proved problematic. However, through perseverance and consistent performances, she ended up qualifying for her second Olympic Games. In this episode, she takes us through her qualifying journey, the unfortunate end to Team GB's bid to qualify a women's short track team, how the speed skaters will manage themselves during the Games, and also how she plans to use social media through the Games. We hope you enjoy. Thanks so much, Charlotte, for coming back onto the pod ahead of the Olympics starting. How are you?
Yeah, I'm in a really good place, thank you. So we literally leave for Pyeongchang. Well, we leave for Seoul first and then we go to Pyeongchang. But yeah, we leave on Friday. So excited, mostly.
Absolutely. And like I say, not long to go now until the Games. Do you feel the anticipation is really starting to build now?
I think it's been exciting for me because we've had quite a lot of media stuff, which obviously in short track we don't get masses of until it comes down to the Games. So we've had lots of media attention and we've been working with school kids today and stuff. So you definitely start to feel that hype. Mm-hmm. But I think it's literally when I get to the venue, it's the same at World Cup, but that's when I really start to feel that kind of buzz around racing. So that's what I'm excited for most.
Yeah, and that's when it's supposed to start feeling real, I suppose.
Yeah.
And when we last spoke to you, it was way back in July now, and you were still about to go through qualifying. From a competitive point of view, what's happened to you since then to now? Because obviously you did qualify in the end, so there's a happy story.
Yeah, so it was not the smoothest of journeys. I went to the warm-up competitions for the Olympic qualification and managed to... you kind of had this move at the end of the race where you stick your front foot forward to get over the line first and just lost my grip and went up in the air, came down hard on my coccyx and managed to actually get a crack in my coccyx, which isn't ideal. It was pretty painful to skate. Every time I pushed to the side and like your glutes would contract to make the power, that contraction would just pull on my coccyx. Got on again, fell again. So yes, that was before I even got to the World Cup. But then I managed to, we got an injection which helped with the pain, and I went to the Olympic qualifiers and I really enjoyed myself this time round. Obviously I spoke about having a lot of nerves last time and the need to qualify, but this time I just enjoyed the racing and that showed in the results too. So I was very consistent with getting a lot of B finals throughout racing and stuff like that, so very close. I didn't feel necessarily on top form through injuries, but happy to have laid some consistent performances down. And then during qualifiers then had another bad fall where I had a tear in my labrum of my hip, which is like the cartilage of the hip, but all in all pretty happy that I gave the best performance I could at the time and it was enough to qualify and enough to make a few finals. So I'm pretty happy with my performances so far.
Yeah, exactly. A bumpy ride, as you say, and it's becoming a very common theme on all the Winter Olympics pods that we've done so far, and that everyone seems to have their own injury problems ahead of the Games starting, but everyone has also said that they've probably come out stronger at the other end. Do you think you're in that same position as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think like just being a sports person, you're going to come across injuries and you're pushing yourself to the limits, so then muscles and stuff like that can have injuries. But then on top of that, you're like, you know, you race on the edge because you're trying to get the best out of yourself. So injuries are kind of pass and pass with that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I think half of me is thinking that actually it's put me in an even better position now because I think because I've been injured, I've had such a fight to come back after the last World Cup. I kind of was so desperate to put some hard work down because I was worried I wasn't going to be strong enough, this isn't, like, things aren't right, and actually I just feel like I'm stronger than ever right now because of like coming along this bumpy journey. So it's definitely spurred me on even harder, probably.
Exactly. And last time you were on the pod as well, you mentioned how much of
or how great it would be to qualify a team for this Winter Olympics, but unfortunately things didn't go quite to plan in that regard.
Yeah, so the relay's been a massive dream of mine, so we've never qualified a GB girls short track relay team. And I felt that last two times around we've come like ninth and tenth, the top eight qualify. Mm-hmm. So I'd gone into this one thinking, you know, this is the one, we're stronger than ever, we're faster than ever. We've got a really good like group of six girls, whereas before we'd only previously had four girls. So we had spare people, which we'd never had. So I was really excited to kind of for this to happen, and I really thought it would. So yeah, unfortunately, what actually happened was that our best skater, Elise Christie, who's current world champion, she wasn't able to compete in any of the events through. Like some physical or mental injuries, but you know, she wasn't able to overcome at the time. So it was a really hard journey for her. On top of that, at the third World Cup, CD4, and at the third one, Kat had got a tear in her Achilles just before, like days before in training. So she wasn't able to compete either. And she was like an up-and-coming skater of ours. So then, you know, I'm really proud of the work that myself and all the other girls put in. And, you know, we wanted it so bad. And we really worked hard to become a unit because of quite a fresh team. And yeah, through, I guess, a bit of an experience in races, we made quite a lot of mistakes and then didn't have our best people, so it wasn't quite strong enough and it all fell apart a little bit. So it was pretty heartbreaking. And there's a bit of me now that's like, do I keep going? Because it's the next Olympics, the one, because I know it's possible and I know it's even probable. Like, we're so close to doing something great within the sport, within the girls' relay team, and I'm hoping that we get our chance to show that at some point.
Exactly, yeah. And like I say, it's part and parcel of sport sometimes, is that things don't always come off, no matter how much effort you've put into it, but you can sense things are getting close with that team as well. And also referring back to your last podcast, you mentioned that impatience was probably your biggest downfall. So with the games coming up, has it been easy to keep that in check for you?
I think just getting older has made it easier to keep that in check. But yes, I think, so I'm 27 now, and I think going through two cycles of Olympic Games, one narrowly missing out and the second making it and kind of learning from that, I think it just, that's the biggest thing, especially my coach, Sanjay Lee of Big 4, he constantly just like, you need to be more patient, you've got to be patient and getting that reminder. So yeah, it's not been something I've struggled with this year compared to normal, of like trying to rush to the next step or, you know, missing out the smaller processes and just trying to win all the time. So it's definitely how previously I've skated, but the last 4 years I think have been, yeah, I've been slightly different, and I'm really drilling that in of just making sure that the processes are correct and that all the little things add up, whether that's like your like night nutrition or getting the right things after training or trying to stretch for the right amount of time and things like that, but all them things add up to the bigger goal. So I've been really trying to focus and, you know, take my time on things.
So we're recording this on January 24th, and as you've mentioned, you jet off on Friday for the Olympics. In terms of sort of itinerary and, you know, where you're going, what is actually set out for you training-wise and downtown-wise?
Okay, so the best bit from this point on is that the hard work's done. Like, we've worked so hard throughout the season, but we've had like a big block of like a month of just like nailing ourselves into the wall. So now it's actually, we're starting to go into the tapering phase where we're landing in Seoul, have 4 days there just to try and help adapt and acclimatise and help to get over the jet lag, which normally takes about a week. So we're going out a bit earlier than most people are. And we've been to the rink there, we've stayed at the same hotel there and things like that, so it should be quite familiar to us. And then on the very first of the month, the 1st of February, that's the day we travel into the village. Again, we did this last time around, I think we're pretty much going to be the first people there, so it's a bit like ghost town at the beginning, where you've got this whole place to yourself, whether it's the apartments you're living in or the massive food hall where like everything's ready for you. So and all this time we're still training, still hitting the high intensities to make sure we're ready to hit race pace. But we're just bringing the volume gradually down each week so that actually our legs start to feel a bit fresher. We don't feel so tired and can start to really perform ready for the games.
Yeah. And are you going to the opening ceremony at all?
No, I really wish I was. It was a mega part of my experience last time. So it's a real shame, but I'm actually competing on the very first day of racing. So the opening ceremony is on the 9th, but it's up in the main village in the mountains. And then on the 10th, we race that evening. So it wouldn't be a very good performance decision just because it's in the cold. It's up in the mountain. We've got to travel there. So, yeah, race prep comes first, I guess. So
yeah,
I'll be doing the closing ceremony instead and putting my heart into that. But, yeah, I'm missing the opening ceremony.
Yeah. And you mentioned sort of acclimatising and getting used to your surroundings. Do you find that an easy thing to do and to get comfortable in that new place that you're in? Is that kind of essential for you doing well at that competition?
Yeah, so we have a lot of strategies for that. So, like, we have to wear sunglasses pretty much all morning and stuff so that we gradually bring our body clock back an hour at a time so that we sleep better each night. So, yeah, just from a point of view of being able to feel good sooner and, like, sleep better sooner and things like that, so you're really trying to put effort in to make sure that everything's right. And we've got a great support team around us that will make sure we're doing the right things at the right time and not eating, like, certain meals too big at certain times, things like this. So everything's there just so that you can get your body clock back to normal as soon as possible so that when we get into the games on the 1st, we're a couple of days ahead of everyone else and starting to feel a bit more normal so that the training just before the games start that week will actually be a decent amount of training where we're actually putting, like I said, the volume be coming down, but we want to be putting out the lap times, like building the confidence up and also just the getting used to the ice and things like that without just feeling like you want to be asleep right now. This is really hard work. So, yeah, it is important to us as athletes. Mm-hmm.
And you were obviously at the Sochi Games in 2014. Is there anything you've done differently, preparation-wise, this time around that you didn't do last time?
Yeah, so the only thing that's been really upsetting for me this time around, so we decided not to go to the European Championships because they were literally last week. So it's more just from a point of view of to make sure we were able to train hard enough and not rest up into another competition. So, yeah, this time round, and I love racing Europe. I just love racing in general, like the buzz, the feel, the atmosphere, the unpredictability of short track is what I'm all about. So that was kind of a hard decision to make, to be like, okay, I'm going to stay home and just train hard because that will be a better performance decision for me in when we leave 2 weeks after that had happened. So, yeah, that's been the only difference. I think we got it right last time and I definitely performed at the games. Like, I made it into top 16 and at that point I think that was roughly where I was about ability-wise, whereas at this time, obviously, I'm trying to go there and I feel like I'm in my prime and I'm ready to really showcase what I have, and hopefully that's enough to get a medal. So yeah, I'm hoping that I've made the right decision by staying home to just really, like I say, I am at the limit of just exhausted at the moment. It's not necessarily that I feel fresh and I'm an athlete and I'm ready to go. I just feel like I'm so grateful that it's getting closer because I can finally start resting because I'm so tired.
Yeah, and in 2014, you kind of alluded to it already, that it was very much about testing yourself amongst that quality opposition. And this time around, it's all about medals for you.
Yeah, so I think any athlete would probably be lying if that wasn't their goal, ambition to go and get a medal. And I think last time round, obviously, it's still in my head, like, you know, that's what you're going there to try and do. But it wasn't necessarily realistic for where I was at in my career. Whereas, yeah, this time round, I've already got World Cup medals, European medals under my belt now, and yeah, I feel in a really good place from the point of view of I've put in the hard work, and I feel that that's like I've done enough to bring me to the right place that I need to be for on the track on the day. So I know it's possible for me now, and last time maybe would have been took a bit more luck than anything else, whereas this time, yeah, I've put in the work, and I'm excited to see if it'll pay off for me.
Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned this a number of times about the Olympics being this big old event on this huge scale. Does the fact that you've been to one before help you now at this time around?
I think, like, I just absorbed everything last time around. And I think you learn a lot about yourself while you're at the games, because suddenly you're going away, you know, for 4 or 5 weeks at a time with your team, which also just, you learn what's good for you and bad for you energy-wise, but how do you get your own energy? So how am I going to spend my spare time? Because suddenly you're not training enough, so you need to have plans of how it's going to work for you. And I just feel like, yeah, last time just really helped me massively when I kind of said, you know, going through the Olympic qualification system last time and how to cope with nerves and how do I skate best. And I feel like that I was able to put that just into the qualifiers this time. And like I said, even though it didn't go perfectly, I thoroughly enjoyed it and enjoyed skating and racing. And so it meant that then showed in the results. And it'll be the same going to the games. I just need to make sure that I can stay on the right side of excitement versus nerves and get in the right point in the middle where that's the like mentality that I need. So I think that's the biggest difference this time around, just knowing myself a little bit better.
Yeah. And obviously with the way your sport is going at the moment and success Elise Christie is having, it's probably a large part of that. Individually, do you think there's kind of more of a spotlight on you and the sport than there ever has been before?
The sport is definitely growing, and I love that. That hopefully that'll bring in more participation, more girls so we can finally get this relay underway. But yeah, I think the spotlight's definitely more on the sport, and maybe like Elise said, like I say, the world champion, and her journey at Sochi last time was turbulent to say the least. So I think, you know, there's more eyes on the sport, and that's a great thing. I still feel like the underdog, even with getting medals, because Elise has gone that step further. But that's a good place for me. I like to feel like, you know, I'm just racing. I'm so proud to be able to race for the country and to have the like GB logo on my chest. But at the same time, I can just go out there and enjoy doing what I do every single day and showing people what that looks like and not have too much pressure on myself. And it makes it easier with having people there that have also medalled and done great things too. So it's really good.
Yeah. And what you said about Elise there, because we always remember what happened last time around. With regards to social media, do you tend to shut yourself off from it when you're at a competition like this? Or do you still go on it, but you just don't pay any attention to whatever negative material there might be out there?
So, yeah, me personally, I just don't look at it just the day of racing, just because if you're suddenly, like, your neighbour's best friend's mum will then message to say good luck, and you have all these extra people that are wishing you, like, the best wishes they can for look-wise, it's a great feeling, but for me that I'm like, oh, God, like, they need me to do well. Which shouldn't be taken that way, but I think just for my own sanity, I don't look at it until after, but I'm just really appreciative of all the masses of support that I ever get from everyone, whether it's friends, family, people from school, like, or like the kids and stuff at school, she did stuff with them today. So yeah, I really appreciate it. But yeah, just around the day of racing, I don't look. But after that, I think I've got a pretty thick skin anyway. And even going into Sochi, there was, I think somebody in the media had asked, you know, I think they was looking for a story, like, oh, so is there anything that's like wrong at the moment? Anything at the games that hasn't gone quite well? Like, all we're hearing is positive stuff. So I'd said, the only negative is that we were promised bikes when we first got here. So like all the other countries can like ride around their bikes, and it's quite a long walk to the dinner hall and stuff like that. But other than that, there's literally nothing going on. To which I then got quite a lot of Twitter people who were saying like, oh, she's too fat to get a dinner, da 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 da. But I just found it amusing. It wasn't something that I feel like would get to me from the negative side of it. Because I don't see it as personal, as in like it is just people either looking for a story or looking for a bit of a laugh. So for me, I end up replying to that and kind of going along with the joke a little bit, just as in like I'm not going to take offence. But each person's different. But yeah, for me, it's just before racing, I don't look. After racing and any other day is fine for me, and I don't necessarily try to avoid anything.
Exactly. And like you say, everyone's different with regards to social media. And we've all had our fair share of abuse on Twitter as well. So lastly, out of absolutely everything at the Winter Olympics, what is it you're looking forward to the most?
It is the racing. Obviously, it's the biggest scale you could race on. But for me, it's the same as always, because it's the same people that go to the World Cups. It's the same people that go to the World Championship. But it's just getting that another chance to go and represent the country. And when that gun goes, the unpredictability, trying to outwit people and the fast thinking and everything that comes with that. That's, yeah, if I could just skip forward to that bit, that's what I'm most excited about.
Absolutely. And that's a perfect way to finish up. And it's a big thanks from me again, Charlotte, for coming back onto the pod for our Winter Olympic specials. And we wish you all the very best when it's your turn to hit the track on day one of all days. So yeah. All the best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
It's a big thanks again to Charlotte for coming back onto our podcast, giving us an update, and also sharing an athlete's perspective of the games. We will certainly be keeping an eye when she hits the track, and we wish her all the very best. Feedback, of course, is very welcome, and you can always come and follow us on social media. All of our pages on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're all SportSpielPod. Join us tomorrow for more as we release our fifth Winter Olympics episode, which features Scottish skier Charlie Guest.